I think a lot of us are really confused about what we need to surrender in our lives. We don't need to surrender the desires God has put in our heart if God put them there. What we need to surrender in this season of our life is the way we thought it was supposed to go. Did you say that again?
Yes.
All right. Just for you. Let go of how you thought it was supposed to go. And while you're at it, let go of when you thought it was supposed to get there. Because the issue isn't will God, it's when God. It's not will God, it's when God. And it doesn't just depend on what he wants to do. It depends on what you are willing to do until God does. I shared with one of the people that I mentored the other day, they were needing clarity. And I said, the issue isn't whether God will reveal this or not. The issue is, what will you do until God does give you clarity? Because if you flail right now, and if you thrash right now, and if you act nasty right now, and if you cope with stuff that's going to put you in a cage later right now, then when God gives you clarity, you won't even be able to act on it because you will be so constrained by the decisions that you made while you were waiting. The issue is not will God. The issue is not his sovereignty. It's you're supposed to. Let me ask you a question. When it flows, are you going to be where you're supposed to be? In the valley, digging ditches, in the valley, transporting. You know, that's a lot of times what parenting is. It's just taking your kids back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And in certain seasons, they won't talk to you. How was your day? Fine. If you get a fine out of them, that's a grade A response. That is a premium response in this season I'm talking about. And then they're going to be in your room at 12:30 in the morning. Now they want to talk. You're asleep. And part of being a parent is being able to flow with all of that because, you know, if you pick them up and drop them off enough, eventually they open up enough. And you get to have the conversation. But if you don't show up when they say nothing, when they open up, you won't be there. Everything is like that. Everything is like that. Everything God did in my life was something that I was digging in a dry place when he was doing it. And the same thing for Holly. The same thing for Holly. Usually when we meet people and we're meeting them for the first time and they're a part of the ministry, they'll go, oh, Pastor Stephen, hey, Holly. Doesn't bother me a bit. Doesn't bother me a bit. I'm like, I like her more than I like me too. Hey, trust me, I'm in her fan club. I'm the president. Would you like a picture of her? And I'm exaggerating a little bit, but just to make a point that I remember when Holly felt completely useless in this ministry. I remember the season when the kids were very little, that I would take them out on a Wednesday night and she would invite maybe like 12 women. I don't know if it would be smaller or larger than that, but she would have them into our home and she would walk them through a Bible study. But it wasn't just a Bible study because she didn't really feel like she had that much to teach from the Bible, but she would show them how to cook quick meals. Because she would say, when you have little kids, you have to cook quick meals. So I'm going to show you quick meals, stuff you can do real easy, stuff that doesn't take much brain power, stuff that'll take your husband's waist size from a 32 to a 38. That class should have been called Project 38. And so I watched it expand like my waistline from when she did the Bible study in our house to then I watched, they said, you need to do that for all the ladies of our church. And she made a little study called Mrs. Better Half. You know how many people I have overheard while they're getting their selfie with her while I'm standing over in the corner sucking my thumb say, it saved our marriage? But it means more to me because I saw where it started real slow. And I saw that it was out of her personal dryness of where she could have felt sorry for herself. What do I do? What's my job? What's my value? Where's my Grammy? Where's my Oscar for best supporting role? I watched what she did, and I watched how she did it at such a level. It was almost like a decimal. Like, you know, like you got the number, then the decimal. It's almost like I watched what was behind the decimal move, and I watched God add zeros to it, where it was 10 women, and then it was 100 women. And then it was 1,000 women. I feel God enlarging somebody's vision right now. Not your waistline, your vision, your vision, your vision, your vision, your vision. Come on, can you see it by the Spirit? Because you won't see wind and you won't see rain. And nobody came to her with a publishing in advance and said, would you make a study about wifedom? She never got the wifedom publishing advance. But when the pandemic hit and everybody was trapped in their homes, hating each other a little bit, on each other's nerves. We were taking a walk, and I said, you know what you've got? Better half. I want you to release better half into the world right now so we can help families get through this challenging time. And she did that. And she did that. And it wasn't 10 anymore. It wasn't even 100. It wasn't 1,000. It wasn't just our church. It was all over the world. I watched as women all over the world were gathered saying, can we drink some of that water that you started digging for a decade ago? That's why God did it, because you dug it. You dug it. God did it. You dug it. God did it. This is going to be your testimony, so practice. I dug it. God did it. I dug it. God did it. Too heavy, flow with me. You dug it. God did it. You dug it. God did it. You dug it. God did it. That's what you're going to be telling people a little bit from now. I had a secret track after 300 songs. I had a secret prayer life. I had a secret reading plan. I had a secret ambition, but I surrendered it to Him, and I gave up on what others were going to think, and I got serious about service. I dug it. God did it. I dug it. I'm getting happy now. I dug it. God did it. We're going to be looking back on something not many days from now, child, talking about, I dug it. God did it. Now let's get into this a little bit. Say, when I dig it, God can fill it. Not when I feel it. When I dig it. When I don't feel it. God will fill it. And this, my friend, is the word of the Lord. Why is it not here yet? Imagine the digging that took place with people who were already dehydrated. Because they dug all night. They waited all night. That's a long time to dig with nothing to drink. Trust me, I've dug. I've dug. Come on, take it from the grave digger. I've dug. And I'm not filling a valley with ditches, and I had better tools. So digging while you're dry, right? That sounds so inspirational, but it can be so difficult. So they need water right now. Why didn't God make it flow the moment Elisha spoke it? Why do we have to go all the way to verse 20 for the water to come? I'm going to tell you why. Because the sun wasn't up yet. The sun wasn't up yet. Some of the things that make you want to give up and think it's never coming, the sun isn't up yet. The sun isn't up yet. Say it out loud. The sun isn't up yet. The sun isn't up yet. Imagine them digging all night and they're dry and they're desperate. And in many ways, they're defeated. They've already expressed that the Lord has brought us here to hand us over. So they've completely lost their confidence, but they're digging anyway. Verse 17 says, thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water. So every time they check to see, has it happened yet? Somebody says no. I want to talk for a moment about what to do when you're navigating a no. Is there wind yet? No. Do you feel the mist yet? No. No, I'm not talking about a thunderstorm. Do you even feel a drop yet? No. Are you, this some people love to ask me, are you ready to preach? I never answer that with a complete yes. Because the truth of the matter is, there's no real way to be ready to release the word of God. It flows when it's supposed to. God gives me what I need as I preach it. So shall it be in your life. I want you to receive this. I want you to receive this. I don't know if you're getting it. Every time they asked, did God do it yet? While they're digging, it was a no. Sometimes when you get enough no's, you make no your emotional home. No wind, no rain, no body to talk to about this, no one that you really trust, no end in sight to this battle, no good news lately. I can make it really good. No deposits in the account, no matter how many times a day you check it. You ever just check wondering if something happened overnight? Like maybe. I don't know. God is big. Maybe the bank made an error. Maybe Y2K will be 23 years late and it'll just all get wiped out. Let me just check this one more time. Nope. I see you refreshing your phone. No. Maybe they text. No. Well, maybe they, no. And the way you negotiate that no, which is a type of valley of its own, isn't it? It's so important. Do you make that no your home? Or do you dig through it to find what God will do? If you don't let the no that life has told you become the final word over your life. In verse 20, we get a very different word. And what we've basically done is we've gone from no wind. Everybody say no wind.
No wind.
Say it out loud. Say no wind.
No wind.
Put it in the chat. Say no wind.
No wind.
The refreshing that you wanted didn't come. The momentum that you wanted didn't come. How many can relate to this? Just put a raised hand up in the room or in the chat. I don't care how you do it, but put it up. Say, yeah, no wind. I don't feel it right now. No rain. That's the resource that they need. So sometimes it's going to come in this way. You are not going to get the feeling that you want, the resource that you want, and it's going to be a no. Now, the way that you negotiate this no has everything connected to what is next. It does not just depend on what God can do. It depends on what you will do until God does. That's what it depends on right now. What will you do until God does? And I've got another confession of faith that God gave me, and it might be for somebody that I may have doubts and I may have disappointments And I may have a lot of no's. There may be 300 of them. There may be 300 more. There may be rejections in my futures and failures in my future. I'm sure that there are. If I keep living, there will be. There may be people who don't like me. There may be people who turn on me. There may be dryness in my future, and I don't know exactly how God is going to do this. But I'll tell you what I have decided in my spirit, that I'll be digging until God does it. That's all I can control. That's all I can do. I can't make it rain. I can't make people change their minds. I certainly can't control things that are beyond the sphere of the domain that God has given me. I can't make that person love me. I can't make that person like me. I can't make this situation change. I can't make them see my value. But I know one thing. I'll be digging until God does.
Hey, thanks for stopping by my YouTube channel. I hope you were blessed today. If you were, share this with somebody. Like and subscribe and leave me a comment. Let me know where you're watching from, what we can pray for you about. Hope to see you back here again really soon.